Politics, sports, entertainment? Yeah, we've got that. It's WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Thank you so much for joining us here on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Center, fabulous producer, another fabulous week, so we appreciate all of his hard work to help us out each day. In the studio with us now, Movie Mike McGranahan is here. His appearance is always sponsored by the Campus Theater. Find out more about them at campustheater.org. Find out lots more about him at aisleseat.com. If you're going to watch a movie at home or go to the movies at the theaters, make sure you check out aisleseat.com. See what Mike had to say about it. It might keep you from wasting your money sometime or turn $10 into a real investment. So welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Do appreciate that. The name of your movie, Alita...
Battle Angel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Welcome aboard. Go right ahead.
Alita Battle Angel stars Rosa Salazar as a female cyborg brought back to life by scientist Christoph Waltz. She has no memory of her previous existence, so she tries to put the pieces together. The answer to that mystery is tied into a brutal sport known as motorball, which is a combination of roller derby and randomly murdering people. How long before that becomes a real thing? Alita Battle Angel perpetually feels like it's on the cusp of being great without ever quite getting there. The core idea is interesting as Alita searches for clues about her past in a futuristic world that is increasingly hostile toward her. The performances are good all around, and there are some solid action scenes, most notably a dazzling motorball game in the third act. What holds the film back is an excess of characters, each with their own subplot. You've got Mahershala Ali as a shady businessman who rigs motorball competitions, and Jennifer Connelly as the scientist's ex-wife who somehow got tied up with him. There's a romance between Alita and a young man, a bounty hunter who wants to kill her, a city in the sky that's supposedly a utopia but is actually run by a madman, and a cyborg assassin who has gotten pumped up on some sort of robotic steroids. Alita Battle Angel has so much going on at the same time that it feels a bit scattershot. This isn't a bad film by any stretch of the imagination. It just never fulfills its obvious potential. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 2.5 Terminators.
Okay, so just 2.5 Terminators. Mm-hmm. Now, first of all, the type of film this is not all animation. Some is, some isn't.
Right. There are human actors, although the lead character, they created her with computers, but the actress actually gave a physical performance. It's called motion capture. So she gives a performance wearing the special suit that the camera records, but then they can alter the way she looks on screen. So if you know this actress, and she's been in a lot of movies, she was on the TV show Parenthood, Alita looks like her, but she has really big eyes, almost like one of those annoying Precious Moments figurines.
Okay. Yeah, she looked a little bit like Alf, but that's another that struck me watching the trailer. Okay, so, and the trailer's distilled down. You don't see half the elements you just talked about, so it looks like a pretty clear shot through the movie of a new heroine that's about to emerge, but you say they complicated it in the film.
Yeah, everything ties together. This is not a movie where you feel like it doesn't know what it is. All the different elements are tied together, but there's just so many of them that none of them really get developed to the level that they should. And I think it would have been smart to maybe scale back on one or two of them to give more time to the stuff that was more important, and then that would have overall strengthened the movie. Like I said, it held my attention, but it was directed by Robert Rodriguez, who made Sin City, and it was co-written and co-produced by James Cameron, who made Avatar, Titanic, True Lies. And so you really expect a movie is going to blow you away when it comes from those two men working together. And this one is okay. It holds your attention, but it just really isn't on the same level as a lot of the other things that they've done.
Well, and those aren't men who are typically interested in drawing you in so that you'll go see all of the sequels. But this particular film appears to be laying the groundwork for half a dozen sequels.
It does, and the way it ends is absolutely set up for a sequel. It is based on a very popular Japanese manga, which is a Japanese comic book, and I know there's a whole series of them, so there's a lot of places that they could take the story, but this movie cost a reported $200 million to make, and it's tracking very poorly. They expect it to not really open very well or to not do very well, at least here in the United States. We'll see how it does globally, so any talk of a sequel on the filmmaker's part might be a bit premature.
All right, and the that's true. Would you like another really massive money-losing operation? Please sign on
right
now. Okay, and in Japan, will it play well there or all across Asia.
Movies like this do extremely well in China. There was a movie a couple years ago called Warcraft, which was based on the popular Blizzard video game, and it was a huge flop in the United States, but a massive hit in China. And they're actually supposedly preparing a sequel to that, even though it bombed here. It was such a big hit in China and a couple other places across the globe that they're going to do another one. So, yeah, it is possible for a movie to make up its money elsewhere in the world if it doesn't do well here in the States.
Well, after seeing the trailer, I'm a little disappointed that it's not more of a cohesive film that the trailer makes it out to be, because it looks pretty hopeful in the film,
trailer. A lot of really good elements. It just doesn't tie them all together.
All right, so 2.5.
Terminators, in honor of a much better James Cameron-related cyborg movie.
Okay. You got to keep your cyborg films
in the
proper order. Okay. Entertainment news. Not a ton going on this week, but you mentioned you're tweeting about Quentin Tarantino and Spike Lee.
Mm-hmm.
They among, basically everybody except the Oscar Academy wants to change the way the Oscars are presented.
Yeah, the Oscars are trying to basically get better ratings for the show and fix some things. And so they've come up with the bright idea this year to relegate 4 categories to the commercial break. So they're going to give out best cinematography, best editing, best live action short, and best makeup and hairstyling during the commercial breaks. And a lot of Hollywood bigwigs, including Quentin Tarantino, Spike Lee, and La La Land director Damien Chazelle, signed an open letter asking the Academy not to do this, saying that these are all very important parts, especially cinematography and editing. Those are all very important parts of filmmaking, and that those awards should not be treated as second-class awards by giving them out during the commercial breaks when the audience won't get to see them.
All right, so this is, they're calling on the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, to go back and rescind that. Why is the Academy worried about that? If they go close to midnight, then that's a big liability?
No, they just want a shorter show because the ratings have been in steady decline for years, and so they're trying to fix it. Now, they do say that they're going to film these awards and air a shortened, edited version of them during the show, but they're definitely trying to get it in at 3 hours. They feel it's gone on too long. Ratings are down. They're desperately looking for ways to pump up the ratings, but personally, I think they're going about it the wrong way. They're doing all the kinds of things that are actually going to make the ratings go down, I believe.
Right, but getting rid of presentations. What might make the ratings go up? More awards, perhaps? I mean, I always sort of thought, well, you know, I'm watching their presentation, so if it goes 3 hours, you know, tough me.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times it even approaches 4 hours, and I think that's the issue, that there's so much extraneous stuff. The host would come out and do a 15-minute monologue, and then there would be stupid skits in the middle of it. You remember the year that Jimmy Kimmel hosted, I think it was Jimmy Kimmel, and he brought all the people into the theater that were on the tour bus. Just a lot of stuff like that that's not necessary, a lot of stupid banter between the presenters. What they need to do is just keep it snappy. Don't waste any time on anything that's extraneous or not necessary. Have people come out, quickly introduce the award, give it, have the speech, next person comes out to present the next award. That would help the ratings a lot more, I think.
Right, and then a floor manager or an MC, kind of, or the host in that case, can really do that by expediting things, making sure that people are moving. Have 2 mics instead of 1, and that way you have one getting set up while the other one's finishing up. So,
right.
Okay, so that can happen. But in the meantime, do you think the Oscars will rescind this decision based on the pushback?
They might. Like I said, they're already walking it back a little bit, saying, well, we're going to air edited versions of those awards during the show. But if they get enough pressure from Hollywood, I think there's a chance that they might walk that back.
All right. Last other topic, entertainment news you talked about this week. Chris Pratt and Ellen Page are at odds over his church.
Yeah. Ellen Page, of course, the star of Juno, she is a very well-known LGBT spokeswoman after having come out a few years ago. And she slammed Chris Pratt like 2 weeks ago online. He belongs to something called the Zoe Church, which is an offshoot of the Hillsong Church. And if you don't know what that is, it's one of the largest evangelical type of churches in the world. It just has millions and millions and millions of people around the globe who are part of it. But that church supports gay conversion therapy. And their leader was quoted as saying that the church welcomes all people but does not affirm all lifestyles. And so Ellen Page has said, you know, it's really inappropriate of you, especially working in Hollywood where there are a lot of LGBT people, to be talking about this church and be affiliated with it. Chris Pratt responded to that in a quote saying that Let me find this quote here. He says, "My faith is important to me, but no church defines me or my life, and I am not a spokesperson for any church or any group of people."
Well,
so he's pushing back a little bit, too, but there's kind of this war going on.
Not much of a denial, though, really. He's not standing up for the church. He's just saying, look, I'm not glued to them. I just go there.
Right. I mean, this is an interesting one to me, and I know it's a hot-button issue, but the Catholic Church is also relatively the same way. They don't support gay conversion therapy, but they don't affirm that lifestyle. So I'm not entirely sure why Ellen Page picked this particular example. There are a number of churches that have that. Maybe it was the gay conversion angle, which, like I said, the Catholic Church does not have in some of the other ones. But definitely a little bit of feuding going on there between the two of them.
All right, yeah, picking on a Hollywood actor's church. There's one you don't hear every day.
Right.
All right, new movies. What's coming out this week? We always look for the titles of the films that are coming out and a paragraph about them, and then which one you will go see.
Right. Well, Alita Battle Angel is already out. That opened on Wednesday of this week. We've also got Isn't It Romantic? Rebel Wilson plays a young woman disenchanted with love who mysteriously finds herself trapped inside a romantic comedy. So basically her life becomes like a bad rom-com. And we've got the sequel Happy Death Day to You, in which the main character from the original movie discovers that dying over and over was surprisingly easier than the dangers that lie ahead. I think that means that she's going to continue dying over and over in the sequel.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll look forward to that. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McCranahan. Follow him on aisleseat.com. You can follow him at aisleseat. His appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg. Oh, which film are you seeing today?
I am off to see Happy Death Day to You shortly.
Happy Death Day. All right. Fantastic. All right. His appearance sponsored by the Campus Theater. Check them out at campustheater.org.